Hello, everyone, and welcome to Healthy Minds. I'm Julie, your host, and I've got three special guests with me here today. Would you guys like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. My name is Erica. I'm the owner of Kifalme Royal Naturals. I make all natural hair care and body care products, as well as do guided hikes once a month. And professionally, I work at a third-party neutral research company, basically, that's consumer-led. We basically give power to people's opinions about their mental health services throughout the community.
Hi, my name's Alison Jordan. I'm visiting America from the United Kingdom. I'm the CEO of a suicide bereavement charity, so my organisation looks after people after they've lost a loved one to suicide. And I've been fortunate enough to travel to the USA on a Winston Churchill Fellowship. So I applied and was successful, and I've come over to learn more about mental health, suicide bereavement, suicide prevention here. So I'm really glad to be here today. And I've brought a colleague with me from my organisation.
Hi, my name's Nikki Creek. I'm a frontline worker for the suicide bereavement charity, specifically working with families and young people.
Great. Thank you all so much for being here, especially all the way across our lovely oceans. So we are today talking about being creatures of habit and the good and maybe the not so good habits that we fall into today. So basically what we're talking about is routine and how we maybe struggle with that when we are not doing very well, whether or not you have a diagnosis or not. It's all about stress management and other things that we've talked about before on the podcast. So if you want to look at the anxiety episode, you can. If you want to look at our self-care episode, you can. And then there was another one recently that I cannot remember the name of, and I apologize, but there was another one there that you can talk, you can listen through as well. So we're just going to kind of chat about maybe how routine impacts us and how we maybe lose it a little bit. So I'll go first and share that I oftentimes when I get stressed, I try to either do so much that I don't have time to think about being stressed, or I end up just kind of like getting overwhelmed and stopping. And that's like a normal kind of stress pattern for me. And when I'm doing well, I am balancing everything and not experiencing high levels of stress. And I can see a real difference in the patterns, but it's often correlated with high amounts of work stuff, or I've got a lot of deadlines with school or something, and I just feel myself kind of getting stressed about that. And instead of managing it, I pack my routine a little too much. So
when you say routine, the first thing that comes to my mind is self-care, because right now that's my number one priority as far as my wellness. Great. So making sure that I schedule those things in and they're included in my routine, but then also, as you said, like when things get a little crazy or a little hectic, make sure that I'm staying with the routine that I've written down for myself. And when doing the routine, making sure that it's those priority things that I take care of first and the things that maybe aren't so important at the end of the day or at the end of the list, so that, you know, I'm not being so hard on myself as to I didn't get to those things or beating myself up about them. And then also when I'm doing really well, just again, making sure that I stick with the routine so that I can stay well and not, you know, procrastinate or be anxious about things that I haven't done or haven't got to. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, she reminded me. It's a procrastination episode. So that's the other episode you can listen in if you want to learn a little bit about procrastination. Okay, great. You want to share a little bit?
Yeah, so I have a morning routine, which is 20 minutes of learning. At the moment, I'm trying to learn French. 20 minutes of meditation or journaling. And then I also spend 20 minutes planning my day. So when, on the days that I achieve that, it's great, because even if the rest of the day goes wrong, I feel I've achieved before I've even stepped out of the door. But when I'm overwhelmed or overworked, the temptation not to do that in the morning is really strong. So when I most need it, I find it hardest to access it. So I allow myself, trying not to make any judgments or be critical, I allow myself to cut it down to 10 minutes and do 2 minutes of French, or just remember what I learned the day before, or 2 minutes of meditating, and 2 minutes of planning my day, just maybe the three most important tasks. So I think for me, it's being careful not to add the fact that I failed to do something or the self-care on top of the overwhelm that's already there. And I find that really useful.
Yeah.
I recognise myself when I feel stressed or overwhelmed. That's when I start overthinking things or over-worrying. When I start recognising that in myself, I will get out into nature. I've got a dog that I love to walk. And I find for me, if I just write a list the evening before, just put it out there, that helps with the feeling of being overwhelmed or stressed.
Is your list what you're worrying about, or is it time management stuff?
Time management and things, you know, priorities, things that need doing, rather than the procrastination, you know. Yeah. A good thing that I'll do if there are important things to do is start doing irrelevant chores around the house, like cleaning out cupboards or cleaning the top of a door frame.
Yeah.
And that's when I realise I am, you know, not placing my energies where they could be placed.
Yeah. That's so funny. We talked about that in the procrastination episode, where we want to, like, go do other things because we feel overwhelmed. So we're procrastinating the real task because we maybe don't want to do it or whatever. So we go clean our rooms or do the dishes, and your house is, like, beautifully clean, but you haven't done what you need to do. So it's funny how that can continue to impact us even in other areas. And it's nice to hear it's not just me or my guest from before, that other folks are experiencing the similar thing. So there's two kind of patterns that we all fall into, and I'd be curious, so I have thoughts where you fall from hearing your story, but I'd be curious to hear what you think. So there's two patterns, so, and I do both of them. So you are either an overdoer or an underdoer. And like I said, you can be both at the same time. So maybe some tasks you overdo and some tasks you underdo. So if you overdo, you plan too much to do, you get overwhelmed about this, you're planning even more to do because you want to compensate for that feeling of being overwhelmed, and then you eventually burn out or crash, and then you have to rest and recharge, whether that's forced hospitalization, whether it's you've gotten yourself sick, like physically sick, or, you know, somebody stops you and says, please stop coming into work, or please stop, you know, whatever the case is, you're stopped somehow from doing what you need. So then you don't do anything, which feels good for a second, and then you start back into the overdoing. I didn't do anything, so I have to compensate. I need to do two things today because I did nothing yesterday. So you just kind of keep going in this circle. So that's the overdoing. The underdoing is you get overwhelmed about something, and so you're like, well, it's just too much, so I just won't even start. And then because you haven't started, you feel worse about having not started. And then you just kind of, again, continue in this cycle, self-reinforcing of not doing what you need to. So, like I said, I see myself doing both of these, depending on the situation. So I tend to overdo work things, external obligations, I would say. And then I underdo stuff that are set deadlines that I've done for myself. So house cleaning, I tend to underdo. I'm like, well, dishes. Right now, I'll get to them maybe someday, but I have to do this instead. So I like procrastinate or I underdo in other areas that way. And then, like I've shared before, I overdo with work obligations. So when I start to feel stressed, I add more onto my plate, which doesn't make sense, but I do it anyway. So.
So I also have experience with both my work life and personal life. When I'm stressed at work, I underdo at home. And when I'm stressed at home or in my social life, I underdo at work.
Okay.
It's a weird connection. And then also with like the cycling of it as well, it's, as you said, you need to recharge and you need rest. So with that, just making sure that you give yourself time. And then also, it's very easy for me to allow myself to be distracted when I'm in those cycles. As you mentioned, the procrastination and whatnot, or the overwhelming feeling of having to do this thing and just feeling the pressure of that, it's very easy to, you know, sit and binge watch a show on Netflix instead or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's, I guess, you know, an ongoing cycle of figuring yourself out and just figuring out what works best for you as far as recognizing when you're doing those things and then what you can do to help yourself as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've done both. I will continue to do both. I'm neglecting one if I feel overwhelmed in the other or if something's not quite right in the other. I try to remember what I call the best friend test, which is, would I speak to my best friend the way I'm speaking to myself in my head right now? Because most of the problems are coming from how I'm treating myself around whether I've done enough or I haven't done enough or I've achieved enough or am I neglecting someone or something or not walking the dog, etc. So if I remember the best friend test and don't beat myself up too much, talk to myself as if I was my best friend, then I will come out of it quicker and feel less stressed overall.
Yeah.
I also recognise that I am both of those. I've learned, and it's taken me quite a while, that actually there are times that I need some recuperation and I allow myself that time without feeling guilty and knowing that it's actually going to make me feel better. So now I've taken that on board, that's been really good for me because I know when I come out of it, it could just be an hour's sleep or an early night, that's really good for me and that's all right. That's okay to do that.
Yeah. So let's talk about you've already started some of the strategies on how we break out a little bit, which I think is really important. So first you have to recognize your pattern. So I hope that if you're listening, you go, oh, I'm an overdoer, or oh, I'm an underdoer, or oh, I do both in different situations. But you're able to figure out kind of where you're at, because that's the first step, is that you need to recognize your patterns. So I personally write everything, or I enter it into my calendar so that I have a documentation of my day. So I add past events, which seems weird, but I then look at what my day looks like. So I spent 2 hours grading. Okay. Then I taught class. Then I was answering emails. Then so I have like a record of my day. So I set out with what I need to do, but then I also write what I actually did. So when I notice that there's a lot of blocks in my day, which indicates I'm probably overdoing it, or that I'm saying yes to too many things, I always take a half day, which is nice to do outside of other obligations, but I'll take a half day to really sit down and look at what I'm doing over the next few weeks. Is it important? Have I just made everything equally as important? Because I tend to do that with work. And I schedule stuff out and I start saying no, or I ask people if I can do it in a week or two or something. And I've never gotten any pushback on saying, even though we terrify ourselves, I've never gotten any pushback in saying, I'm really swamped this week. Is it okay if we touch base next week? People are normally like, oh yeah, sure. Right. So set a little reminder in your phone or whatever to remember to check in next week. But oftentimes people aren't going to be upset about that. The other thing that I've done is I've turned off my email. I downloaded an app that turns off my email after 4 p.m. and it doesn't turn on again till 8 a.m. so that I have working hours and I might check it, go into my phone and check it, but I don't get the emails because it was hard to feel like I was off of work when I was still getting emails throughout the day. So that was something I did, and I'm not perfect at it. I definitely could be better, but that was something big for me that I've noticed my evenings have been a lot less chaotic after doing that.
So my thing would be my number one thing, and I realized the importance of this last week actually, is having a shower or like a break or something after the workday to go into my personal life. It's just like washing off everything that went on, the stress or whatnot. And one day last week, I actually didn't do this. And I, you know, was thinking of someone else and my not doing this, trying not to be late somewhere. And the whole situation at the conclusion of it was basically just like, I should have just did what I needed to do for myself instead. And then also just making sure that I get outside or get, you know, a walk or sunlight or something at least 30 minutes a week, even hugging a tree that, you know, it sounds funny, but it's actually something that I do. I actually really do believe that we as humans are really connected to nature and it is beneficial to us in support of our mental health, our immune system, pretty much everything to connect with it literally and figuratively. Yeah, so.
That's great. I struggle with getting outside, especially when it's cold.
I was going to say, yeah, it's hard in the winter.
Yesterday, whenever you listen to this, but a recent day was really sunny and it was beautiful and it was 70 degrees. And so I dragged all of my stuff, my computer, because I still had to work. I dragged all of myself out into my backyard on my patio. And then I just let my dogs run around our fenced in yard and worked outside. And it was a little difficult because the sunlight made the the computer hard to see. But it also felt really good to just kind of be basking in the sun. And then I've started buying more houseplants too. we'll see how they survive. I got some succulents, so I think they're doing it okay right now. But that's something that I intentionally did last year. Is I bought more plants because I realized that I had no greenery, and I feel happy when I look at my plants. So
that's good. I'd say if you have trouble remembering to water them, talk to them positively. It's pretty much equal to their survival.
Luckily, succulents, you don't have to water very often.
Little spritz, right?
It's like once or so a month that you douse them in water, so you actually like put them in the sink and give them a bath. And then you pull them out and let them drain, and then they're good to go. And so far, that's working. I do have one cactus that I'm terrified of, so I haven't watered it. It's been like 3 months, and it's still green and good to go. So eventually, I'll figure out how to take care of this cactus. But for now, it's really cute. It's shaped in a heart.
Aww.
So I'm like extra terrified of watering it because I'm worried I'll kill it.
You won't.
It's very cute. Yeah, I'll have to send you a picture. Okay, sorry. We got off track. Routine. So how do you recognize if you're overdoing, underdoing, and then how do you break it?
So I suppose my main, I've already said about the things I do in the morning, the learning, the meditating, the journaling, and planning my day is so important to me. So I also, in the planning of my day, I pick 3 things that I could do before 9 a.m. that would make a huge difference to my day. So sometimes I tend to feel that I've got a million and one things to do, heading up an organization, running, managing a team of staff, and my day can be interrupted by emergencies that come in. So before 9 o'clock, the day is mine and I can really set it up. So I'll do 3 tasks that would make a big difference by 9 a.m. And it's usually emails that I've been procrastinating on. Yeah. But the feeling of having done them before 9, it really doesn't matter what else happens to the day. I can be interrupted and it's absolutely fine. And the other thing for me is water. I live near the beach, the sea, so I have to see the sea every day. Ooh. Luckily, I work in a building where there is a view, so even on a horrible day, I can run upstairs and have a look. But if I can't do that, then a bubble bath is just as good.
Yeah, that's great. I like it. You have a really strong self-care routine, which is really important. I'm not surprised since you work in the field and you're running an organization. But I think we should all be like Allison here. Try to get a really strong morning routine. I love that you have 3 things to do before 9. That's great. I'm going to borrow/steal that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I do recognise that I will need to do some planning. So for me, it is to write some things down. I'm very mindful, and this has only been latterly, of my breathing. I have, been concentrating on my breathing, and grounding myself really works, really does help. I do some basic meditations, which I just get from YouTube, which I recognise helps as well. Something else that really helps is keeping an eye on my nutrition. I'm aware that when my nutrition is good, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
But when I forget, I recognize that that's not helpful.
Yeah. That can be hard too, because when we're stressed, we tend to go to junk food, right?
Yeah.
Case in point, yesterday where I was mad about something and I ate 3 Hershey Kisses in a row, and then I was like, let me actually address what's going on instead of just eating chocolate. Although it's delicious, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about nature, if you guys are okay with that. And we've all kind of mentioned it in different ways. So I have my plants, of course, but I was thinking about this just while you guys were talking about your experiences with nature. And some of my 2 all-time favorite, like top memories were when I was outside in nature without other people around. I mean, my boyfriend was there, but without other people around. And so one was in Arizona. We were hiking in the Red Rock State Park, and it was just beautiful. We were up above everything, and we could look down, and the trees looked really small, and it was slightly terrifying, but it was sunny. It was like a nice day. We had just physically exerted ourselves to hike, and it was very grounding to kind of experience. And the other one was when I was in Scotland and also walking in the UK. It's not hiking. I got in trouble for saying hiking. Not from my lovely guests, but when I was there, I mentioned hiking and somebody was like, what are you talking about?
Well, it's funny because we walk everywhere, but we do buy hiking boots.
Yeah. And it was the same situation. I couldn't see other people. It had been like an hour since I had seen another human other than my boyfriend. And so there was something very freeing, but also grounding about that experience. And it's really hard to get here in Maryland. So many people. So it can be really difficult to disconnect that way. So have you ever been to Great Falls? It's beautiful, yes. But there's so many people.
Yeah.
Because it's a well-known park. Mm-hmm. And so that's the problem that I have is when I do get my nature moments, it's like 10 seconds before I see another human being. Even if I go on a crappy day like today where it's rainy, it's really hard to get that no human and nature mm-hmm. without being like locked in a small room with a plant near you or something. But it's really difficult to find that same experience here in Maryland. But maybe you say you do guided hikes and stuff.
I was going to say, yeah. So most of my guided hikes are at Gwynns Falls Park, which is within Baltimore City. So for, you know, people like yourself, I assume you live in mostly urban space.
Yeah, I live in Glenburnie. So.
Yeah. So not a lot of green space, but there are, you know, places that you can go that aren't too far outside of, mm-hmm. I would say, Baltimore City. And then also, as well, outside of Baltimore City, but not too far out. And then also, like any park, your neighborhood park, I know mm-hmm. there are, I don't want to say forests, but...
pockets of forest.
Right, right. So, like, there's a... By my house, where I live, there is a group of trees. So, you know, just going there, you know, with the trees, not really worrying so much about like whose land is this or like whose space is this? Am I trespassing? But just being able to find like that green space that, as you said, is secluded to an extent. And I guess feeling okay or safe to go out there as well. Most of my guided hikes, as I said, are at Gwynns Falls Park. But I know that there are apps that you can use to find green spaces that are close to you also. I don't remember what.
Yeah, I was trying to... I use a trail website, and I can't remember what that's called.
Happy Trails?
Maybe.
That's the one that I use
mostly.
Does
it rates the difficulty and everything?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, yeah I've used that before.
It gives you so much information. Tell you the water quality of the river or the stream that runs through there. Yeah. And I would say personally up to the person, you know?
Right. It's very individual. That's fair. I just like not seeing people. It's nice. It's nice to kind of reconnect, I feel like. And it sounds like you get that with water, right?
Yeah, I'd get that with water. Obviously, the UK is tiny compared to America, as we're really appreciating traveling around here. So we have that. Our beautiful spaces are very populated because everybody wants a touch of that. So I will close my eyes and use my hearing sense. Mm. So I quite often go and sit on a pebble beach and just close my eyes and listen to the waves coming in, because then I'm not so conscious of the people because I'm using my hearing, and then it makes me mindful. So that's a good way of connecting as well.
No, that's a great suggestion. Thank you.
I think for me also, I'm very fortunate. I've got some lovely walks and beaches right on my doorstep, so I do take advantage. I do make the conscious effort to be mindful of what I'm noticing and appreciate what I'm seeing, which is good.
No, that's a good point. So I have a goofy question that we didn't plan for, so it's okay if you say no. So I've heard and not experienced, as I shared when I went to Scotland and London, that it's often very dreary there, that it's like gray or rainy and that you don't have so much sunlight because you're at a higher latitude than we are. So do you find that the UK is good about seeking out green spaces and sunlight, or that is that something maybe you all struggle with? The US struggles with it, I will say.
I think we're very lucky, actually, particularly we live in Devon, which is very rural. Mm-hmm. With beautiful coastlines, and Nikki lives on the opposite coastline to me, so we can see beautiful spaces every single day. And also, I think living on the coast, we miss quite a lot of the horrible grey, dreary weather. A day may start that way, but by midday it will have blown itself through and there will be some sunshine. So we are extremely fortunate. If you spoke to someone in London or Manchester, they may have a different view. But I recognise that for my well-being, I have to live where I live. I have to be near these things.
I'm gonna move in next door to you. Your description.
You are very welcome.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so we're going to switch to the self-care send-off because it's that time already. So if you, not everybody has to share, of course, but if you have something you would like to challenge our lovely listeners to practice the next month or so, now is your time to share.
I'd encourage everybody to go hug a tree. like I said, it might sound a little weird, but if you feel drawn or connected to a specific tree, I'd like to say that it's like nature calling out to you. Mm-hmm. And there is an exchange there when you hug the tree. And I want to say that it'll help you with whatever you're going through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hug a tree.
I like it. It's a grounding technique, literally. Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely. Do you have anything?
I would say grab a tiny notebook and a pen and keep it next to your nightstand or bedside cabinet, as we would call it. and every evening, the last thing you do, write down three things that you were thankful for that day or grateful for. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be big things. Can be a little hug with a tree. It can be hearing a bird sing. It can be a nice tasting coffee. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be huge things. Mm-hmm. But the more you do that, the more your perspective will shift every single day to the things that are nice, and you will stop noticing the things that aren't so nice.
Beautiful.
One piece of advice I'd like to give, and it's something that's worked for me, I've got a pact with my family that, you know, when things are, I feel a bit overwhelmed, instead of isolating myself, I reach out, so a text. Mm-hmm. So we've got sort of a code word. Just to, I need a bit of socialising, and I need you to help me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we've got that agreement. Lovely. And it's really helpful.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I'm going to piggyback off of that and say that I have to schedule reminders for myself. You can't tell, I live by my planner. So I schedule reminders for myself to reach out to people. So I have something like, and it sounds so funny, and if my friends are listening, I'm sorry, I promise I do think about you. It's just the first thing that goes is my friends, my connections, when I'm really overwhelmed. So I schedule time in and say, remember to text Amanda about hanging out, or call Bonnie and ask about, you know, watching the next episode of whatever or whatever. Schedule a group meeting for next month or something. So I've started hosting brunch, which is really fun for my friends. We do that like about once a month. And it's really great. So we're done early. I have the rest of my day, but I feel accomplished, kind of like you were saying, because I've seen 15 of my friends in one sitting. So it's nice. So I would recommend scheduling some time.
Lovely.
Reminders to... Yeah. Schedule time. Schedule time to schedule time. Okay. Well, that leaves us off. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for joining me.
Thank you.
And we are wishing you good mental health.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.